96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Getting locked up for selling marijuana used to be a sure thing. Now, depending on where you live, depending on what state you live in, it could mean a budding or even booming business. But it's not that simple, even if you live where owning a pot business is indeed legal. Well, joining me to talk about this are Robert Calkin. He is president of the Cannabis Career Institute, and Alan St. Pierre, executive director of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. Lines are open if you have a question or a comment at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Just as a disclaimer, this is not an endorsement of marijuana use for this program, but we do want to share with you some of the issues that are beginning to crop up, not just locally, but around the nation as it relates to businesses and marijuana. Gentlemen, thank you so much for sharing this conversation with us.
Good evening.
And it's a privilege to be here.
Thank you so much. Let's first of all talk about marijuana businesses where it is legal. Mr. Calkin, if you could kind of give me a brief sketch of what businesses are doing in Colorado. We've heard reports that they're doing a booming business, and this isn't just about marijuana for smoking.
Well, most people don't know about all the different methods of delivery for marijuana, so that's a whole new industry in itself, for all the different forms that people, especially the elderly, are now needing: balms, tinctures, oils, and the like. So aside from there being a medical marijuana business, there's also a recreational marijuana business, and each one of those groups has constituents that have different concerns.
Mm-hmm. What is happening as it relates to the handling of money? Because it's my understanding that there are issues regarding federal laws, the banks, how money is moved from these legal marijuana businesses. What's the issue with that? Can you talk to me about that?
Well, the problem is the federal government has asked banks to fill out suspicious activity reports for every kind of deposit made by a marijuana business. So they've kind of made the oversight fall onto the banks. So the banks obviously can't afford that, so they're not going to do that. So there's no way for them to serve the marijuana businesses because they don't want to be involved in anything that could potentially happen liability-wise.
Mm-hmm. And isn't that part of the problem, Mr. St. Pierre? The reality is that even though states have moved rather quickly to either legalize the use and sale of marijuana or recreational marijuana or medical marijuana, but the reality is the federal government hasn't caught up.
That's indeed true. And that's why yesterday's introduction in the Senate of the first pro-reform marijuana bill since the mid-70s is so significant. One of the components of it is to cinch this problem of legal businesses in states that have medical marijuana or recreational marijuana where they tax it at about a 35% tax rate. So this is a lot of money paying their taxes. You can't pay your taxes in cash. So this is a huge problem, and Congress is looking to fix it. It's a piecemeal approach, but these laws are bubbling up from the states, and at some point, surely the federal government's going to have to say uncle.
Mm-hmm. One of the other interesting things about this, as we know, and as I said in the very beginning, before the states started moving to legalize the use of marijuana and in some cases the legal sale of it, you could get locked up for selling pot.
Oh, sure.
You know, whether you're selling it on the corners, you're selling it out of your house. And, you know, we could talk, you know, all day about certainly, you know, some of the stereotypes. But this issue has also bled into social issues and political, because we know that here in Washington and in other urban areas, a lot of black men and a lot of young men and a lot of young women are serving time for selling marijuana. If, let us say, that something like this becomes legal in Washington, D.C., or let's not even say Washington, even in the state of Maryland, where House Bill 911, which is considering the legalization of marijuana in Maryland, is sitting in a House committee. It's not voted on right now, the House Judiciary Committee. You know, it makes you, you know, wonder what will happen to some of those people who went to jail.
Well, yeah, that is now the forward-looking questions that are now being asked. And by the way, it's an apropos one on your part, because just yesterday, legislation was introduced in Oregon. Oregon is one of the states that has legal marijuana. And now legislators there are asking, well, what about expunging all these people's records? And so, yes, I mean, reparations, I don't think we're there yet. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to expunging people's records and opening up the jail doors, absolutely, if it's for a marijuana-only related offense where no violence was incurred, those seem to be prime candidates. And by our estimates, there's about 100,000 Americans locked up for marijuana-only related crimes. 700,000 people are arrested every year on marijuana charges, 26 million since 1965.
I want to go back to Mr. Calkin, because again, just from a business standpoint, Mr. Calkin, what kind of options might be available in a state where marijuana, the sale, the distribution, the growing, the use is legal?
Well, in the legal states, you have plenty more options than in the states where it's not. And when we go out and we teach in each one of the states, every state is in a different stage of development. So first you're going to go through a very limited medical marijuana program where very few patients are allowed to get their medical marijuana card. Then as the infrastructure comes into place and they're not able to make as much money as they might need to, then they expand that and it kind of becomes a de facto legal medical marijuana program where anyone can get a card because they add pain management to the list. And it kind of segues into pure legalization. So as you're going to each state, you're seeing them in this different stage of development. So each business model kind of follows along those stages of development.
So it's safe to say this is not like opening up a lemonade stand.
Correct. You have to be able to adapt. You have to be able to keep current with whatever the laws are and influence the laws if possible, if you can get involved politically. And that's what normal's about, and that's what all the advocacy groups try to do, is get involved before the government does so they don't make mistakes, because they're obviously not very familiar with how the industry operates.
I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go to the phone lines. A lot of folks want to get in on this conversation. The phone number is 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're discussing marijuana as a legal business. My guests are Robert Calkin, president of the Cannabis Career Institute, and Alan St. Pierre, executive director of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. If you can't get through, please keep trying. I promise I will take your phone calls as they come in, even on the Sirius XM side. Kevin, calling from Washington, D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, my question would be health-related. What happens to the neighbor if a person using the medical marijuana or whatever case it is, the person next beside them in the home, and they have to smell the medical marijuana or whatever it is downwind, and they have their young family, and they just don't want to be associated with that atmosphere? What do we say into them?
Well, since the good folks of California first brought us medical marijuana by vote in 1996, so it's been almost 20 years, these kind of problems have all been vetted, as you can imagine. Neighbors producing marijuana that smells, whether they're smoking it or it smells like a skunk. And so you just have common nuisance concerns, just like we would for anything else. Landlords have passed, have helped pass rules around the United States that if you live in controlled rent, if you live in a dorm, you can't use marijuana if the landlord doesn't want you to. It's just one more covenant that's assigned to you as a renter.
So it sounds to me like it's... It may be like a noise ordinance,
exactly,
or something like that.
Yep.
I see. Okay. Well, there you are, Kevin. Thank you so much. Roz calling from District Heights. What's on your mind? Roz, go right ahead. Yeah, go right ahead, Roz. Real quick.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm calling to find out about how to be a legal distributor for medical marijuana also hemp products.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Calkin?
Hey, Roz. The first thing you want to do is you want to become familiar with whichever aspect of the industry you want to get involved in, and then you want to try to find somebody that's either going to train you or mentor you in creating a business plan or some kind of a strategy that's going to help you to get introduced to the people who are going to actually help you and not just take your money, and also plan out how you're going to achieve your goals according to your timeline and your budget.
Mm-hmm. Is that something that your organization does, Mr. Calkin?
Well, Cannabis Career Institute has been helping train people like that since 2009, and that's the whole idea, is let's get to help them figure out what their niche is, how are they going to specialize in something that's going to help them to make money in the industry or help patients to get the kind of medicine they need, and people like Roz can get trained or create a business plan for a dispensary or some kind of business that's going to fall in line with state compliance.
Before I go to another quick break, do you have a website, sir?
It's CannabisCareerInstitute.com.
Okay.
And if you're looking for a job, there's also Canna Jobs.
Canna Jobs.
Yeah.
Canna Jobs. Interesting. We're going to talk about those jobs, too, because, of course, this isn't just about selling and distribution. I would imagine this is an entirely new agriculture field.
Yeah, in our lifetimes, there's been very few new industries. The internet would be one about 20 years ago, and I'm going to suggest this is an entirely new industry. Cultivation, testing, sales, marketing, lawyering, zoning, it's all coming to be.
We're going to talk about that on the other side. So if you're on the phone, please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a